So when a woman finds out that she's pregnant, she typically gets excited, right? And she might begin thinking about all the wonderful times that they'll have with the baby as the baby grows and develops throughout its life. Perhaps she'll think about the different ways they can decorate the baby's room, all the different colors and curtains. And maybe, just maybe, she may pick up one of these books, 20 Million and One Names for a Baby. All right? Now, let's see if any of you are interested. Zelda, Zila, Zelma, Zena, Zenobia, Zia, any takers? Any takers? Zita, Zola, Zaza, nobody? Okay. The Z's are fun. So what are some important things to consider when naming your baby? Maybe you're looking through one of these books. What's important to remember?
You have to spell it.
Ah, the spelling could be very important. They carry it for life. So when they say their name, they have to spell it every single time. That's something to remember. What else? Are they going to handle it getting old with their name? Okay. What about the meaning? The meaning of the name. Also something very important to consider. Besides how much they'll get made fun of also with that name. It should cross your mind. Rachel was born around Christmas, and her mom considered naming her Holly Joy. And she is very thankful that she didn't have to endure that easy of a target for humor. So lots of different things to consider, but what I want to talk to you about this morning is the meaning behind the name. And that's what this book does. It tells you all the 20,001 names and the meaning behind each and every name, if they have a meaning. Some of them are just made up, but most of them have a meaning. When Rachel's mom was naming her little sister, Amy, she headed down to a couple of different names, but ended up going with Amy because the meaning of the name behind it was beloved. And her mom knew that her dad and her would greatly care for and love Amy, and that God would greatly care for and love her. So they went with Amy, beloved. Amy was a long-awaited child, and her parents knew that she would be greatly loved. So they named her Amy. And today I want to talk to you about perhaps the most important name in all of history. And that is, of course, Jesus. But I also want to talk to you about some of his other names, because he has many, and what those names actually mean. We say Jesus a lot. Jesus loves me. Jesus saves me. But what does the name Jesus actually mean? Now, a name means different things to different people, right? For example, the name Cain, to me, would mean me. But to other people, it might mean Dean Cain, Superman, or perhaps Michael Cain. There's a wrestler named Cain. There's also movies like Citizen Kane or The Cain Mutiny with Humphrey Bogart from a while ago. Or even Cain and Abel, the first Cain, and the one who didn't leave the best legacy for the name Cain, of course, the first murderer. Woohoo! Or even this guy, Mr. McCain. You may have heard of him recently. So the name of Jesus definitely means a lot of different things to different people, just like most names would. And boy, does Jesus mean different things. It's a Mexican name, Jesus. I think there's a player for a baseball team, David Jesus. And it looks strange on the back of the shirt, but they use that name. For many people, unfortunately, it's a cuss word, and I'm sure you've all heard it. When they hit their thumb with a hammer, they don't go, "Oh, Muhammad," or "Oh, Buddha." They say Jesus or God, variations of that. And it's very sad that their names have been turned into swear words. Isn't that horrible? the name of God and his perfect son. I've been turned into swear words. Some people are offended by it. Some people reject it. Some people fear it. Some people, it's a very negative thing. But to other people, it's a very positive thing. Some might associate it with Savior or Lord, Protector, knowing that they have power in that name, Jesus. Knowing that it can do miracles, it can change lives. The name of Jesus can heal people and save people. So there's many different things that people think about when they hear the name Jesus especially. And Jewish thought, a name was much more than just a random combination of sounds and syllables. A name was meant to convey the nature, the essence, the history, and the reputation of the thing that was named. It was very important. It meant something. It represented who you were. So for me, in Hebrew, Daniel means God is my judge. Cain means spear, you know. And my middle name, Rex, is Latin for king. So part of who I am, part of what I represent, God is my judge. And I know that God, he will judge myself and everyone else rightly and justly. I know that. And for the other parts of my name, I guess I'm king of the spears. I don't know what that means. I'm still working it out. I'm king of the spears. But I like Daniel. So who knows what their name means? Even a first name. What does your name mean? What does your name mean? Have you ever researched your name? You see it on a little card on a keychain? David, worshiper? Dennis, I'm sorry. David, Dennis is worshiper. Rachel means lamb. God's little lamb, I know that. Sarah means princess. Joel means Jehovah is God, I believe. Any others? Do you know what your name means? Check it out sometime. You can just do a quick internet search. It's actually quite interesting. Find out what your name means, who you are. So our scripture reading today was from the book of Philippians. And in it, it says, Philippians 2, verse 9. Philippians 2, verse 9. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God gave him the name that is above all other names, the name of Jesus. That name Jesus is so significant, it's so profound and inspiring that even today, some 2,000 years after he was born, he's probably still the most talked about person on planet Earth. That says a lot. So what does the name Jesus actually mean? Let's lay the foundation. The Old Testament was written mostly in the language of Hebrew, and the New Testament was mostly written in Greek. So we have Hebrew and we have Greek, the languages of the times. If you're following along in your notes, it shows you the progression here, and it'll also be on the screen. In English, the name Jesus comes from the Greek name Iesus. Iesus, like Dr. Seuss. Iesus. Say that with me. Iesus. Iesus. You just said Jesus' name in Greek. Congratulations. Iesus. And that Greek name, Iesus, comes from the Hebrew name Yeshua. Say that, Yeshua. Now you speak Greek and Hebrew. Yeshua. That is Jesus' name in Hebrew. Okay? So in and around the time that Jesus was on earth, depending on who you were and where you were from, you would not have called him Jesus. you wouldn't have called him Jesus. You would have called him likely either Iesus or Yeshua. So Jesus, Iesus, Yeshua, what does it all mean? In its Hebrew form, Yeshua is actually a profound theological statement. It is God's promise to save. It is God's promise to save. The name literally means Yahweh is salvation, or Yahweh saves. Yahweh being God. Yahweh saves. Jesus and the Old Testament man Joshua, you'll recall, the book of Joshua, who led the Israelites after Moses, they actually both have that same name. They both have Yeshua. So Joshua in English means Yahweh is salvation, and so does Jesus. They share that name. So I don't know if there's anybody here named Joshua, but that name is, you should be very honored to have that name, Joshua and Jesus. So that name suggests that there is no one worthy of comparison to Yahweh, God, because he and he alone can save. Yahweh saves. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not ourselves. No one can deliver us from death but God alone. God alone. And he does it through his son, Jesus. That is why in Matthew it says, "And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That is the meaning of his name. Yahweh saves. He will save his people from their sins. And why also in Acts? There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So we see a trend. Jesus saves. God, through Jesus, saves. No other name under heaven. So God, through Jesus, saves us from the penalty of our sins. Being less than the perfect standard of God, we miss that mark, and the result of missing that mark of perfection is death. But if we give ourselves to God and to his son Jesus, we are redeemed, we're cleansed, we're made perfect in God's sight, and it saves us from that second and final death and gives us abundant life now and in the age to come. Hallelujah. So that is what the name Jesus means, and praise God for it. So Jesus, Yeshua, means Yahweh, God saves. Now what about Christ? What about Christ? Christ was not Jesus' last name. He was not the son of Mary and Joseph Christ. That's wrong. I don't know if you've heard that, but that's not it. Christ is a title. It is not a name. In Hebrew, it is Mashiach. Say that, Mashiach. It means Messiah. In Greek, it is Christos. Say it, Christos. Christos, which means, of course, Christ. Mm-hmm. So, Messiah, Mashiach, Christos, Christ, translated means anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one. It might make more sense if you said Jesus the Christ. Jesus, the anointed one. So, Jesus literally means just that. This title, the anointed one, what does that mean? It signifies a king, a prophet, or a high priest, and that this man is chosen by God to serve as a religious, civil, and or a military authority. So Jesus is the anointed, or he's the chosen one of God to rule as king and have great authority. And now, hopefully, the name Jesus the Christ has more meaning to you and perhaps even helps you to share with your friends and family because of that meaning with this different perspective. So you can speak Greek and Hebrew now. It's in your notes if you forget. Because I will too. So, there are many, many other names that Jesus is called in the Bible. And they're all very rich and very meaningful. Many, many names. And because you need your sleep tonight, I will not go through all of them. I promise. But I would like to share just a few of them to show you, we call Jesus these things, but what does it really mean? So Jesus is called the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. John writes in chapter 1, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There's a song by a gentleman named Aaron Winter who sings just that. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And he sings a lot better than I do. But this is in reference to Jesus' role as the perfect and ultimate sacrifice for the sins of man. Now, this Lamb of God has a much greater background than I'm going to go into, but in short, it's referring to the ancient Jewish temple sacrifices in which lambs were slain as payment for sin. Okay? And they had to do that, they killed many lambs. But Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the ultimate sacrifice. He is the ultimate payment for the sins of the world, so that everyone who believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. So after Jesus, there need be no other sacrifices. And this goes along with Jesus' other title, Savior. He saves us. He has saved us from our sins, the Lamb of God. Another one, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is a powerful name of Jesus. No matter who the president is, no matter other kings, emperors, or prime ministers, or whatever they're called, when Jesus comes back, he will be in charge. He will be over all. He will rule. He will set up his kingdom. And every mouth will say that he is Lord and he is in charge. He has dominion over everything. What an amazing day that will be when Jesus comes back and justly rules on the earth and we with him. Can you imagine? And when he's in charge, he won't break any of his campaign promises, okay? Unlike others have and will. What God and Jesus promise will happen. Another one. And the last one I'll look at today. The living water. Living water. What does that mean? Living water. Not like Aquafina or Evian, which is naive spelled backwards, by the way. John chapter 4. "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again." Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. "But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." Jesus is the living water. Water is a necessity for life. And just as a physical body, we need water. You can go days and days without food, but barely a few without water. Just as our physical body craves and needs that, we continue living in the Spirit as we drink from Jesus, the living water. Jesus is the water needed by the spiritual part of us, and without him, we'll die. The Spirit is thirsty, and we try to quench that thirst with many things that may satisfy for a while, but eventually we get thirsty again. Things like greed, lust, pride, food, or many, many other sinful things. They satisfy maybe momentarily. Maybe for a while it seems good. But ultimately, they end up unfulfilling you. You are not fulfilled with them. Only Jesus can truly satisfy all your needs. That's the truth. But the only thing is that Jesus can only quench that thirst. Only Jesus. Not anything else. We have a thirst for the living water, and that's Jesus. You can only be truly satisfied through him. Amen. So today I want to show you a powerful video that you may have seen before, but it's audio from a preacher who has since died named S.M. Lockridge. Actually, it's Shadrach Meshach Lockridge, which I thought was pretty cool. But he talks about the many names of Jesus, and I'd like to share that with you. Each of us has to decide within ourselves. There's no straddling the fence. It doesn't matter if your parents or another loved one were a Christian. You have to decide for yourself what you believe personally, and if you're going to follow Jesus. We have three options, okay, of who Jesus is. Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord. Those are the three that you get to pick from. If he was a liar, he was so convincing that he persuaded his disciples to leave their families, their careers, and their jobs. And for 3 years, these guys devoted every single thing that they had to Jesus. Look at them and all the people throughout all of history who have been killed or persecuted because they believed in and followed Jesus. He was not a liar. He was not a liar. What about a lunatic? That he was completely crazy, loco en la cabeza. Except for the fact that he was the most loving, most generous, most perfect person you would ever meet. That's out too. So what are we left with? That Jesus must be Lord. It's the only option left. That Jesus was who he said that he was. That he, like Peter said, is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That he's the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to God. That his very name proclaims that God is working through him for salvation for all of us. That he is God's promise for deliverance to us, to you and to me. So since Jesus is Lord, since he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the living water, he is our King. We need to show that not only in what we say, but in the way we live. Every single day, we need to live out that Jesus is truly Lord, or else what are we living for? So what should our response be? We should be so incredibly thankful that God gave us this free gift of life and praise him every single day for it. We should be respectful and really, with all of our being, honor God and his Son, and not just throw their names around lightly. Oh yeah, Jesus loves you. Jesus this. It carries such a heavy weight, which is a great thing. It's a power that saves, that changes lives. We need to carry his name and God's name with the heaviest respect and not just throw it around. We should give it out to people because it will save their life. We should live it out in our lives like that is the case. We need to be passionate in our faith. Passionate. No lukewarm Christians. We don't want that. God says either be hot or be cold. We need to be hot. We need to be on fire for God. To really, truly care. He is the thing that matters in this life. Passionate that we seek God and Jesus eagerly every day. Passionate that we can't help but tell others about him. Passionate with the attitude that all the material things we have are someday going to pass away and that we won't matter. So we should instead focus our efforts and focus ourselves on the things that do matter. Lastly, we need to choose to follow God and his teachings. Follow Jesus and his teachings. If indeed Jesus is Lord, we certainly need to lovingly obey him and do what he has to do. You don't say, I love you, and then not do what the person who you love says. Obedience is part of love. If we love him, we will obey him. There's a big difference between believing someone existed and believing in them and what they said. Jesus is not just a historical figure. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings and sitting at the right hand of God. And he will come back. He's not playing around. We need to model our life after him and what he has for us because of our obedience and because of our faithfulness. He will give us the true reward of eternal life. Acts 2:38 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." We've all sinned. We all need that forgiveness. If you haven't made that decision yet to put your life fully in God and in Jesus, then I urge you, I plead with you on behalf of your life. That's something you need to seriously consider today. Don't put it off. Tomorrow is not promised. Consider it in your life now, because your life and your life in the age to come depends on it. Amen.